And now, Virgin Most Powerful Radio is pleased to present Hands-On Apologetics with renowned Catholic author and apologist, Gary Matuta.
And welcome, everybody. Hands-On Apologetics. You have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo. And I'm Gary Machida. And for those watching live stream, by the way, let me give my shout-outs to those watching live stream on social media, YouTube and Facebook. Hello, everybody. If you're watching live stream, you'll notice that I am not alone in the dojo today. I have a special guest, actually a new friend of mine. It's Jeff Kassab. Jeff? Welcome to Hands-On Apologetics.
Thank you so much for having me on, Gary. It's wonderful to be here. But I didn't know this was a dojo. Is it?
Yeah. Well, you know, the name kind of came about because Jesse and Tim Staples had a show, which they called The Lord's Gym, right?
Yeah.
And so I wanted something combative and fun, but not the same thing. And the only thing I could come up with was a dojo. So this is the dojo of the mind, I guess you could say.
We can never come up with ideas like Tim Staples or names like they come up with. It's unbelievable where they come up with them.
No, I don't even try.
Yeah.
I don't. The dojo I got, maybe High Impact Catholic Talk. That's, you know, I'll have to trademark those
because
they're the few good ideas I come up with. So today Jeff is here, and Jeff's got an amazing story. He's from this, from Southeast Michigan, and actually, it's funny. Our paths have crossed over the years.
Yes, they have.
And now you're doing ministry. You're doing apologetics and Bible and stuff, and you have an amazing story.
Yeah, thank you.
So, why don't we go to the beginning? You know, grew up in a Catholic family.
Yeah, you know, we're Chaldean Catholics, which I don't know if many people might not know what Chaldeans are, but we are the Chaldean Church of the East, mm-hmm. part of the 22 rites, I believe, or maybe 23 that are under the Roman Catholic Church. And we originated out of Iraq. We're a small minority in Iraq, and very strong, devoted Catholics. You're born into it. You have no choice. I mean, if you're Chaldean, you're Catholic. You know, that's just, they go hand in hand. And been a Catholic all my life, and served, you know, when I was younger, served as an altar boy when I was young. And as I grew older, learned a lot from my family, my mom, my grandma, always praying, always reading us the Bible.
Yeah.
And, you know, got married in a Catholic church. I had two beautiful kids.
Now, were you born here?
Born here.
Okay.
Yeah, which is, at my age, I'm 52 now. You know, it's kind of rare. There wasn't that many Chaldeans back in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
But my parents came here, and they actually met here and got married, which was also unusual back then. Where there was maybe a couple hundred Chaldeans at the most back in the 60s.
Right.
So, they got married, and me and my brother and my sister were born here. And I got married in 1990. And to my wonderful wife, Alam, and I got two kids, Alex and Amanda. And, just grew up in the faith and, you know, was a devoted Catholic, mm-hmm. you know, church every Sunday and, you know, prayers here and there. I mean, nothing, you know, like strong. But I always tell people, I knew the Lord I knew of the Lord for all my life till I was 42. But I never really met him until I was kind of struck with a tragic disease, which is cancer.
Yeah.
And in 2010, I got diagnosed with colon cancer. Mm. And I was only 42, 43, and, you know, still got two young kids, both in high school. And just devastating, you know, when you hear the word cancer, you know, you just associate it with, yeah, with death. I mean, that's the word. There's some people, my mom can't even say the word, you know, she'll use every other name except the word cancer. Cause it's just like such a bad word to a lot of people.
Yeah. If you go to a doctor's office and even if they mention cancer, I mean, it's
devastating.
Just the worst thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was in 2010, and you know, I remember leaving the, I remember leaving the surgical place where I had my colonoscopy, and I sat in the car, and I said, Lord, and this is literally what I said to him. I said, Lord, you want to battle? I said, we're going to battle. What did I mean by that? I don't know. But I was just upset a little bit, you know, and we battled.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, we battled. And the thing I learned real quick, and I understand now what redemptive suffering means, the thing I learned very fast was that if you battle with the Lord, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
What do I mean by that? It's got to be His will.
Yeah.
It cannot be your will. If it's your will, you're going to butt heads with the Lord, and you're going to lose.
I hate to
put it that way, but you're going to lose. I mean, there's just no way around it. So the quicker I gave in, I submitted to the Lord's will, honestly, things got a little smoother.
Now, did you mean by that you thought that God had kind of fated you to death and that you're going to fight him, that you're going to stay alive? Is that kind of what you're talking about?
So thankfully, because of my strong background in Catholicism, I never believed that I got the disease from the Lord.
Right.
Like that was from him. That just, I never could imagine, and scripture says it, that no father will give his child ask for food, he'll get poison.
Yeah.
And he's a loving father, right?
Yeah.
I never believed that God would ever do that to any of his children. So, I did ask the question a bit is why? You know, I mean, and I guess maybe I shouldn't have, but as humans, as our human nature, it's just a question that you ask the Lord, like, why?
Sure.
And sometimes you say, what did I do wrong? Like, am I being punished for past sins? Which we know we're not, but in our broken human nature, and I think the devil has a lot to play with this, that's what the devil wants you to think. Hmm. He wants you to think that God caused this, you're a sinner, you're a bad person, look what your God did to you. Turn away from him.
Right.
And unfortunately, many people have fallen into that trap of the devil, because he is the liar, he is the father of lies. And he will entrap you in that if your faith is not strong, Gary.
Yeah.
As you know, you can fall into that trap and very easy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. That's not unusual at all. You know, crisis comes and people just abandon God.
Yeah.
So it was your strong Chaldean background, you know, growing up, that just wasn't an option.
It wasn't an option. You know, as Chaldeans, we were very, very strong in the faith. Everything we did, and until today, everything we do revolves around the faith. So that helped me. And, you know, even previous to that, I was involved in the church and, you know, youth groups and doing a little bit of Bible studies here and there. So, you know, I did have a nice, strong faith and, but still when you're struck with something like that, you know, your broken nature just has all these questions going in your head. So thankfully for me that when I finally said, okay, God, this is your will. I'm going to give in to your will, and we'll see where we go from here.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know where we were going. And I figured God's will out very fast, like within a month, because I don't know. If I would have waited much longer, I don't know where I would have been as far, especially spiritually wise.
Yeah.
You know, so we went through all the tests and everything that goes along with cancer, and, you know, we're scheduled for chemo and radiation. And of course, through many prayers and through my patron saint, Padre Pio, which I see you have a picture of him, and he's, you know, he was an amazing man. I've read so many stories about him before, just what he's done, and you know, his life was amazing.
Yeah. Now, is Padre Pio well known in the Chaldean community?
Well, I'd say within the past 5 to 8 years, he's been really well known. More people have been speaking about him. I've kind of helped promote a little bit of what things that he's done in my life to friends. Everywhere I go, I talk about him. It's funny now because every time someone sees a picture or something, they'll send me they'll tag me or they'll send me something on Facebook or on my Messenger or something. But he truly was an amazing man of God. I'm so glad. And the nice thing about him, Gary, is that he was our time.
Yeah.
He died in 1969, or maybe 68, I think.
Uh-huh.
He's our time. We can relate to him. We have pictures. We have, you know, videos of him. Yeah. We have writings of him. So he's someone that we can relate to, like Mother Teresa or you know, St. John Paul II or our time, you know. And he helped me a lot. And I think he helped me a lot because he understood what suffering was.
Right.
The stigmata for 50 years he had it. And I'm like, you know, if Padre Pio can do this for 50 years, you know, I can do these 5 weeks of chemo, you know, and 5 weeks of radiation. And although there was a lot of pain and suffering involved in that, in those.
So it was intentional that you were thinking.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a grace in and of itself, you know.
And I tell you, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't have made it. You know, again, we could do nothing on our own.
Sure.
And I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful for the saints. I mean, and I did pray. You know, Mother Mary helped and guided me a lot. Every time I drew a little bit kind of myself away from her son, I noticed that she kind of pushed me back towards her son, you know.
Yeah.
And, of course, as Catholics, we know that she does bring us closer to her son all the time, whether it's through the rosary or you know, whatever devotions that we have to her. So she's an amazing part of the Catholic faith.
Yeah. So, wow. Well, see, the music's starting to come up.
Yeah.
And, boy, we're done with the first segment already. We're talking with Jeff Kassab about his journey of faith, and also we're going to talk about his ministry, too. That's really great. That's here in Southeast Michigan. And listen to Hands on Apologetics. I'm Gary Machuda. More to come on the other side of the break. Stay tuned, folks.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
In Luke 7, Jesus said, "I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her, because she has been shown great love." According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God, and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Gary.
And welcome back, everybody, Hands-On Apologetics. And I am with Master Apologist Jeff Kassab, and Jeff is sharing with us his journey to faith. And Jeff, you know, right before the break, you were sharing about how you're diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah.
And, you know, initially, you know, there was resistance, but then you submitted yourself to the will of God.
Yes.
And kind of, I love how you said that, you know, if Padre Pio could suffer all those years, I can go through it.
Right.
And that's just an amazing statement, you
yeah.
know.
50 years of suffering, especially Thursday through Saturday. Those were his biggest times of during the Passion.
Yeah.
You know, the stigmata, just he was in so much pain. And yet he continued with his ministry.
Like, yeah.
You know, he submitted to the will of God, whatever it was for him. And, you know, we're no better than him, and we're no better than our Lord. Our Lord suffered. And once you accept suffering, of course, in a redemptive way, you know,
yeah.
It's almost to the point where you enjoy it. Maybe not at the time you're suffering.
Yeah.
But I tell people now, I said cancer was the best thing. Of course, my wife is listening, besides getting married, right? Cancer was the best thing that happened to me because
yes.
I would never be doing what I'm doing today if it wasn't for that stricken disease that I got. And,
yeah.
you know, and to kind of cut a little short, you know, even after I went through chemo and radiation and all the things that go along with it, as I was telling you earlier, there was about a year and a half, maybe a year, a little less than 2 year process, this whole thing. So, after, the healing, I was okay. And, you know, doctor said, you're good to go. And I said, came home and I said, Lord, you know, there has to be more to this healing than yeah. just saying, Lord, thank you. And I'm done. And next time I'm sick or I need you, I'll come back to you, right?
Yeah, right.
Doesn't make any sense. I mean, and unfortunately, that's how a lot of us use the Lord. And you know what? He might be fine with that, but it wasn't for me.
Right.
There's more to the healing. There's more to me being on this earth than just healing me. Thank you, Jesus. I'm on with my life, back to my regular way of life.
Yeah.
Couldn't buy it. Yeah. I said, Lord, I'm at your service. Whatever you want from me, I'm there for you. Okay. Little did I know, people say the Lord never answers prayers. Well, you have to be careful what you ask for because he does answer them.
That's right.
He does
yes.
answer them. Yeah. Maybe sometimes not the way you want. That's why we always say, well, Lord didn't answer my prayers. Well, he answered them to what he figures, he believes that it's good for you and it'll benefit the kingdom. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So he, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, you know, pops out of nowhere and says, Jeff, you need to go to the seminary. You know, go back to school. You know, no, and I you know, I heard this for a day or two, and I'm like, you know, this is not right. Or it just doesn't feel right. You know, I was 43, 44 years old at the time. Mm-hmm. Go back to school. I haven't been to school in 25 years.
Yeah.
Let alone the seminary, writing papers and studying. You know, it's not for me.
Mm.
So if weeks went by and the Holy Spirit is just pounding at my head, pounding. He's like, Jeff, seminary. And, you know, no other school came. He didn't say go to Michigan State or go to U of M or, you know, go stay. It was literally go study at Sacred Heart Seminary. It was the only seminary, you know, around. For 6 months, Gary, I told the Lord no. You know, and I just, because, and you know, we're, the thing about us, our human nature, like, we're afraid of change. Listen, I got a great schedule. I go to work, get off at, you know, 2, 3 o'clock, come home. I go to the gym. I come home, chill at home, sit in the backyard. I got a schedule.
Yeah.
If I do what the Lord wants me to do, my schedule is, there's no schedule anymore, right?
You're right, right.
Everything, your life is just becomes, you know, just walking in the way of the Lord. So I was more afraid not going to school, but listen, I'm good with my life, Lord.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to change. And we're afraid. I think as humans, we're afraid of change.
Yeah.
Right. We're just afraid of change.
Right.
Especially when it comes from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. You know what I mean, right? So it wasn't just simply that you felt God was calling you to go to seminary, take some classes. He was really asking you to kind of abandon, you know, how you've been living and do something completely different.
Totally. Yeah. Like, you know, St. Paul says, you know, take off your former way of life and enter this new life, this life in Christ.
So did you pray and say, God, what else do you have in mind?
Yeah. I did say that. I'm like, Lord, you know, come on, seriously, going back to school?
Yeah.
I've got two kids in high school, you know, and my son had graduated. He started his first year of college. It's not for me. So, you know, my wife, Alan, being the great woman she is, you know, she looked at me one day and said, man, what's wrong with you? You're miserable.
Huh.
You should be joyful. You got healed of cancer. Things are going okay. Your life is back to normal.
Yeah.
What's wrong? I said, well, this is what the Lord is asking from me. And literally she said to me, Jeff, how long can you say no to Jesus?
Hmm.
Looked at her, you know, I said, wow, you know, what a statement, you know.
Never. So she knew that, you know.
She knew something. There was more to this, you know.
Yeah.
She knew I did have a deep love for the Lord. I loved reading about Catholicism. I always loved teaching a little bit about it. But this is a whole nother level. I mean, you know, you're really talking about a whole different change of lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, your goals are different now. You know, you're...
So now you were involved. There's a thing here in Southeast Michigan called ECRC.
Yes.
Which is for the Chaldean community of, you know, studying scripture, apologetics, evangelism.
Retreats.
Yeah, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, were you involved with that before or
no.
after this?
I got a little bit involved with Awake My Soul, which we do every year, just helping them plan for the committee, but nothing to the extent of what I'm doing now with them.
Yeah.
I just got involved with them heavily within the past maybe 4 to 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah. And
I was just trying to put the time frame because
for
a while I actually was teaching apologetics for you guys.
Yeah, and I had one of your classes there, you know, when you were teaching it there.
Okay.
So, but you know, their ministry kept, you know, is continued, and they're doing great, and the ECRC is doing wonderful things.
Yeah. Yeah,
so ECRC stands for Eastern Catholic Re-Evangelization Center, right?
Yes.
So, I'll talk about my story with ECRC in a minute.
Okay.
Also, yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to.
Yeah,
I
the
wasn't
time
sure.
frame.
But
sure.
Anyway, yeah. So your wife comes to you and she says, "Stop fighting the Lord. You're miserable."
Yeah, right. And I prayed about it for a couple of days. I said, okay, you know what? Let me. She's right. Let me go see what the Lord wants. So I went to Sacred Heart Seminary, sat down with an advisor and talked and gave me a bunch of paperwork. Fill this out. I had no intention of filling anything out at the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, things just one thing leads to another. And fill this out, fill that out, go get a letter of, you know, a recommendation and pull up your transcripts from 25 years ago, you know.
Wow. Yeah.
Next thing you know, fall of 2013, I got two classes at the seminary.
Oh, nice.
All I can tell you, Gary, it was the best decision of my life.
Yeah.
I tell you, so I, with the grace of God, I graduated April of 2018 with my bachelor's in theology.
Okay.
And I am now in my second year of grad school and getting my master's
in
theology.
That's awesome.
And it's
so
great.
That must have been pretty scary, though. I mean, you haven't been in a classroom for a couple of decades,
you know,
and then it's seminary, it's all theology.
So let me say, my daughter, thankfully, thank the Lord, my daughter is an English major, so you know she's helping me with grammar and you know where to put periods and commas.
Nice.
I forgot.
Nice.
You know, where do you start and end paragraph? You know, like all these things that you haven't really used, like you know, formally in years.
Right.
So, you know, and it wasn't just that, Gary. You know, you're talking now. I got to give my wife a lot of credit because she sacrificed a lot these last 5 years. You know, every weekend doing, you know how the seminary is. You know, 15, 20 page research papers and reading and so much reading involved. She sacrificed weekends and weekdays and, you know, all my time, homework and classes. And on top of that, I would teach at ECRC. So, you know, sometimes I'd be like, sometimes the Lord gave me 8 days in a week instead of seven so I could finish what I had to finish, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, sacrifice, it's not, when you're married, the two shall become one flesh.
Yeah.
The sacrifice comes from both. It cannot come from one.
Sure.
It can't be just me. I could have done it without her.
Yeah.
With her support, with her, you know, with her whining a little bit sometimes, you know, so even though she complained sometimes, but you know, we tried to keep Saturday nights for a couple hours, our dinner time, our movie time, spend that Saturday night together. But, you know, Sunday, come home after church, 8 hours homework.
Yeah.
Seven hours reading. You know, and there was time, and I work 45 hours a week full time. And there was some semesters I was taking 3-4 classes.
Wow.
I can't tell you now how I did it. So
yeah.
It's the grace of God, you know.
Yeah.
And thank the Lord a million times for that, for putting me through the seminary, and it's just been a blessing.
Yeah, we were talking before a show. You know, we're kind of in the same boat. I have a great wife who supports me. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be able to do ministry.
Yeah.
And, sometimes it's a struggle, but you're right, though. I mean, it's great that when you could walk together, you know, hand in hand through it, because it's, you know, suffering, or not suffering, it's joyful, but it's also sacrifice, too.
Sacrifice, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so important. And, you know, now, so every time, I got a Bible class coming up at ECRC called Who is Jesus?
Okay.
So we're taking 13 weeks of, you know, who is Jesus? Is he Jesus the man? Jesus is God, the vine, the rock. So we're taking all these attributes of who is Jesus. We're kind of break them down. So, you know, I drag her with me everywhere I go. She's like, listen, man, you know. I'm like, yeah, I can't do this class without you. She comes and she sits. And, you know, she's very, very supportive, you know, which is great. And you know what? Even her faith has gotten stronger. Yeah. She's been through so many Bible classes with me, everything I do, lectures I give, you know, here and there. And, you know, once in a while, she's like, I'm not coming today, you know. And I get mad. I'm like, come on, you know. And so I'm like, all right, take a break, you know. But honestly, it doesn't feel the same without her sitting there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she's like,
that's
the
awesome.
Only support team you have, you know,
yeah.
besides the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. So you get out of seminary, was that another moment where it's like, okay, Lord, now what? Or did you automatically know I'm going to start doing ministry?
Yeah, well, ministry started within the first year of the seminary.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, giving a little bit of lectures here and there. Within a few years of the seminary, kind of got hit with another ministry. We got hit with a men's ministry.
Okay.
We decided that not just in the Chaldean community, but men in general, right?
Right.
And, you know, Deacon Harold Brooks Sivers and Father Larry Richards, they all talk about this depletion of manhood in society.
Yeah.
So it happened in the Chaldean community, you know, men, you know how Chaldeans are, I'm sure you know, yeah. they work so much and you know, a lot of them are self-employed and
right. Well, actually, you know, let's hold it there. We'll talk about it more on the other side of the break. This is great.
Yeah.
You're listening to Hands on Apologetics with Jeff Kassab. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Barbara Nicolosi, and we're having a women's conference here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in Covina on September 7th, 2019. This is going to be a great, great day for you to come and meet a bunch of new friends, wonderful Catholic women who want to deepen their Catholic faith and their understanding of themselves as women. You know, this era right now that we're in, so much confusion. What is it to be a man? What is it to be a woman? You know, the Catholic Church has a lot to say about this, and we're going to hear about them. We're going to hear about John Paul II's letter on women that he wrote from Mary Danielle Barber. She's going to talk about that. She's going to talk about Mary as a model for all of us. It's a topic that we can never reflect on too much. I'm going to talk about Teresa of Avila and the interior castle and how a mystical marriage is what all of us should be called to or are called to as Catholics in our prayer lives, and especially as women in the church. Aileen Blakowski is going to talk about motherhood and homeschooling. And then finally, we have Father Charles Murray. He's going to be the celebrant of the Eucharist. He's going to be here hearing confessions. It's going to be an amazing day. We're going to have an hour of adoration together, time to pray, time to laugh, eat, reflect, grow in our passion for our Catholic faith and our identity as Catholic women. You don't want to miss it. You want to come. You want to bring your friends. You want to bring your daughters, your nieces. That's really an affordable day. So go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and you can register for this conference. or call 877-526-2151. The Women's Conference is going to be a great event for the Archdiocese of Los Angeles area, Southern California Catholics. You don't want to miss it.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Jesse Romero. You're listening to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We are talking to Jeff Kassab, Master Apologist, and about his journey of faith and how the Lord really has, you know, put his hand on you to do ministry, apologetics, and so on. And right before the break, you were mentioning about, and you came up with an idea about men's ministry.
Yeah. So, a friend of mine, we both kind of, one day we're sitting at his house, he's like, you know, we talked about, men's groups and men's prayer groups. I'm like, you know, Bashar, we need a men's ministry. I mean, our community does not have one, you know?
Yeah.
So we talked and we prayed and we talked and, you know, we prayed some more about it. And, you know, we both decided that this is, I think, something that the Lord is calling us to do. And, it took us months to come up with the name. That was the hardest part.
It always is.
We threw all kind of names out there, you know, and we ended up with me and my friend Bashar. We got three, four more men
What's the name?
So the name is called Genesis 4:9.
Okay.
And if you're not familiar with Genesis 4:9, that verse is, am I my brother's keeper?
Very good.
We are.
Yeah.
Right? We are each other's keeper. You know, we do have each other's back. We do. We should look out for each other. That's what brothers do, you know. Mm-hmm. So we came up with Lion's Den and all these kind of different things, you know. And so we finally decided on Genesis 4:9, and that's the name of our men's group right now. We've been going on our third year. So we started with advertised and promoted a little bit, we got maybe 45-50 men. Wow. To our first meeting. You know, and most of these men, faithful, already church-going men, mm-hmm. which is great because we needed that foundation, right? So they can go out and start do the ministry.
Yeah. So it just started with two people then. It wasn't like a committee.
Not at all. Two people. All we know is we both love Jesus. You know, we know that there's more to what we're doing.
Yeah.
And we just felt this calling. We felt this need. And I tell people all the time, you know, I Jesus said it, St. John Paul II says it so many times, do not be afraid.
Right.
Do not fear, Gary. You know that. I'm learning that now, you know, slowly. Do not be afraid.
Yeah.
If the Lord is calling you for something, he's calling you for a reason. Just because you think you're not qualified to do it or you don't feel like you can, it doesn't matter because it's not, you're not doing it.
Yeah,
the Lord's doing it. He's just using you as a tool. Trust in him, right? Which we have a hard time doing anyways, trusting in him.
Sure.
We only trust in him when things are good. But when things are bad, we have a tough time with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So trust in the Lord. If he's calling, I call everybody listening, if he's calling you for a ministry, a woman's ministry, a men's ministry, maybe a Bible study with three, four cousins or friends in a basement, whatever he's calling you to, because you don't know where that ministry will lead.
Yeah.
We start with two men. Right now, on my Genesis 4:9 email, I have 400 men on there.
Wow.
250 of them are active. What I mean by active is every other month, we have like a men's conference at Mother of God, which is our
cathedral.
Our cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
We have food. We get a talk. We get a speaker. After the speaker, you know, we have some beer and some wine. We always have some food, some barbecue, and fellowship.
Yeah.
And, you know, what else do men want?
Right. Yeah.
They want beer.
Yeah.
Food.
Right.
And to talk with other guys, you know. And what we found out is that, listen, I'm not the only one struggling financially. I'm not the only one struggling with porn. I'm not the only one struggling with whatever we're struggling with as men.
Right.
It's not. I'm not alone.
Yeah.
All my other brothers in Christ are struggling with it too.
Right.
How did he overcome it? How did he overcome it? And that's what the fellowship is about.
Yeah.
And you know, like I said, it's our third year. Last year we had an annual conference. It was our first one. We had Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, which I love to death. This man, he is. When you talk about a man, you see a picture of him.
Yeah.
He's just the man of all men, right?
Right.
And we had Justin Fatica, again, amazing. And this year, we're going to have it again at the Mother of God on November 9th. It's open to everyone. We have Father Larry Richards.
Right.
He's going to be coming in. And Father Matthias from Brighton, Michigan, at the parish there. Father, I think it's St. Patrick's Parish, I believe.
Yeah.
It's been great. It's been very fruitful. And, you know, the Lord has changed so many men's lives through this ministry. It's been amazing.
Yeah, it's because you're willing to step out and do it,
yeah.
You know, to follow the Lord.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's Padre Pio's thing is pray, hope,
and don't worry. Right?
Yeah.
Don't worry. And, you know, have we had obstacles? Yes.
Yeah.
Have we had people oppose us? Yes. But
right.
There isn't a ministry that has started without opposition.
Right.
I mean, any type of ministry. I mean, look at St. Paul.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it happened to our Lord,
right.
You know, I mean,
I don't know if I could do what St. Paul did.
Sure.
I don't know if I could do it. You know, but he did it. But he was called for that.
Yeah.
The Lord got him through that. The Lord helped him through that. As the Lord will help us in any ministry that we have. So
yeah,
it's been great.
And that's just one thing you have your hand in.
It's one thing.
You also do Bible studies.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about how that started.
Yeah, so at ECRC, I started about 6 years ago at my home parish, which is St. Joseph Catholic Chaldean Church in Troy, Michigan.
Now, was that with the iPhone in the backyard?
No, or? That just happened a few months ago.
Okay.
I'll tell you about
okay.
that in a minute.
Okay.
So we started like a Bible study at St. Joseph.
Uh-huh.
And we did it for a year. The next year, we went through the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I started teaching that. And then I started at the seminary. So after I got into a couple years at the seminary, maybe 2000, let me see, we're in 2019, maybe like around 2016, mm-hmm. I started doing more work with ECRC, 2015, 2016. So we started, we first did a couple apologetics. The first year was apologetics for the fall and winter, which was great. People learned a lot. You know, we had 80, 90 people a class.
Excellent.
I mean, ECRC was packed.
Yeah.
It was great. And then the year after that, we did Bible study. Or no, the year after that, the year after that, we did a Bible study. And the bishop still does this. Bishop Francis still Tuesdays has his Bible study there. He has he does a great job with that. And then last year, I did something a little different. I did a class called The Journey to Heaven. And we were talking about this earlier, you know.
Yeah.
You know, something came to me. I'm like, you know, if you ask a Catholic how to get to heaven, you can ask 50 Catholics, and you'll get 50 different answers.
Right. Yeah.
And they're probably 49 of them are all right.
Well,
maybe they.
I thought
right.
you were going to say wrong.
Yeah, you know, I mean, some will say, well, it's the Beatitudes, and some will say it's the Ten
bits
Commandments.
And pieces,
bits
right.
and pieces.
Yeah.
Some will say, all I got to do is follow John 3:16. All I got to do is, you know. So I said, let me take this class and let me break it down to 13 weeks. And, you know, how do you get to heaven? What did Jesus say about the heaven? So we first went into the Old Testament, which the word heaven wasn't actually used. Then we got into the New Testament. We took so many. I mean, even as I was doing it, I was even learning so much about the parables to heaven. You know, the amazing thing about parables is I had 90 people in the class. And when I ask questions, what does this parable mean to you?
Yeah.
It means something different to everybody else.
Hmm.
It's almost like whatever's going on in their lives at that time,
yeah.
that parable applies to them. And that's
yeah.
just how the Word of God, that's how the Word of God works. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So we got done with Journey of Heaven. This was just last year, last fall. I'm like, okay, now what? I love the Gospel of John. So the next class was A Journey with John.
Okay.
That's what the class was called.
Nice.
I took 13 weeks. I took some of the main, you know, we went through, you know, John 1:1, Then with John chapter 3, the baptism, the wedding at Cana, John chapter 2, and just took some John chapter 6, the Eucharist, and just took some main points out of John, you know, like the main ones, and kind of went into depth with them.
Yeah.
And that was great. I've learned lately that when people hear Bible study, like the Word, it drives them away. Oh, it's boring. Oh, we know the Bible. Oh,
right.
You know,
or it's a long commitment. It's a long commitment. It's like,
so you know what? I don't want to say let's trick them, but let's use a different typology. Let's use different words.
Yeah.
It is a Bible study. But I, the thing about me, the nice thing about having the theology degree is that you can go a little more theological than the average person teaching a Bible study class.
Right.
So you can incorporate some theology and you can incorporate scripture. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, what makes the class fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
so now are these people that are normally in Bible studies, they're very Bible literate or?
Half and half.
Half and half?
I would say half and half. Yeah. And, you know, like I said, beginning a journey to heaven, we had 90, 95 people.
Wow.
I mean, class was packed.
Beautiful.
And then, you know, it always tapers off, you know, towards the middle. We still ended up with a good solid 50, 60 people every week.
Nice.
Which, you know what? To me, if it's five people, if the Lord wants to touch one person's heart or changes one person, then you know what? That Bible study was worth it.
Yeah.
It was worth it.
God's very efficient in that way. He'll send the people that need to be there.
Oh, and he sends them at the right time.
Yeah.
He sent this one guy into class that was doubting the Eucharist, and he came the week I was talking about John 6.
Oh, wow.
He had no clue that this week was on the Eucharist.
Wow.
The Lord sent him there. Yeah. And then after we got done, he's like, Jeff, the Eucharist makes a little more sense to me now.
Wow.
He was a Catholic.
Thanks be to God.
Yeah. So the Lord knows what he's doing.
Yeah, boy, it's amazing when you step out in faith.
Yeah.
That, you know, God has other plans. It isn't necessarily, you know, the stuff we see or the things that we think are valuable, but often like that fellow, that could have been a life-changing moment that otherwise wouldn't have happened had you not, you know, you could trace the whole thing back to back when you had the cancer.
Sure.
You know, just every decision there prepared the way for this fellow to hear about the Eucharist.
Yeah. It was amazing when he came in and, you know, when he literally raised his hand right when we got in. I never seen him before, you know, and came in with his wife. His wife brought him, and his wife never been there either. And she's like, Jeff, after class, she's like, you know, he was really struggling with the Eucharist. And he literally raised his hand and said, I don't believe.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, what don't you believe in? He said, I don't believe that that's the real presence. Okay, let's sit through class, 45 minutes. If when you're done, you don't believe, we'll talk after.
Excellent. Yeah. Very good. Well, you're listening to Hands-On Apologetics. We are chatting with Master Apologist Jeff Kassab. And we got a lot more to come on the other side of the break. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll be right back.
Welcome, Daniel. You're on the line. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimony about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I had a buddy at work who, you know, he's a lukewarm Catholic guy, and I wanted him to start listening to the Terry and Jesse show, so I kept telling him to download the app, and he kept putting me off. So one day, I grabbed his phone, and I downloaded the app for him. I went on vacation, and you know, I kept telling him to listen to it. He was kind of put me off. I came back from vacation. He comes to my cubicle and he says to me, hey, man, I've been listening to Terry and Jesse's show and it's great. And it's made a big impact in his life. The guy, he's going to weekly adoration a couple times a week. He goes to the mass in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's an on-fire Catholic and he promotes the Terry and Jesse show and the Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Wow. Daniel, what a testimony. And I want to encourage our listeners to get those cards by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and do what Daniel's doing. Go out and spread the faith by inviting people to listen to Virgin Most Powerful. Daniel, thanks for your testimony, brother. God love you.
You're welcome.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, There's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity. Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show. And they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Gary.
And welcome back, everybody. Hands-On Apologetics. We are chatting with Master Apologist Jeff Kassab and actually talking about his journey of faith. And man, what a journey it is.
What a journey. Thanks be to God.
And, you know, during the break, we were talking about how it's amazing how when you step out and you do something like that, how God will put the right people, you know, to hear just what they need to hear.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it even, like I said, it happens to me many times. Sometimes things I'm struggling with that week or you know, that day or whatever it is, I go to Sunday Mass. Mm-hmm. I hear the word of God that day. Wow.
Yeah.
This is not possible. You know, this is not a coincidence that scripture verse.
Right.
I needed to hear that. Or what Father said in the homily today. You know, I needed to hear that. I told you I was in Chicago over the weekend. And you know, the priest there, amazing homily. You know, I never heard this analogy. He talked about the road being narrow. And he said the road's not narrow, just we're too wide. You know, we have too much baggage, whether it's sin or lust or greed. The road is, the door is same door as everyone else, but we're too wide. We don't fit in. So he had a great homily. He got down to a great homily. But, you know, I wanted to mention to you, we were talking about men earlier, men's ministry and all this. And, you know, I was shaking my head during the whole Mass this past Sunday. And my wife, she goes, what's wrong with you? We're in Mass. You know, so we talked about men, like the men in the community, the men in the Catholic community, like they're not stepping up and doing what they should do. So I love women's ministry. Mm-hmm. They're doing amazing things in the church. And I think that, if personally in my life, five women in my life were so important. My grandmother, my great-grandmother, my mom, my wife, and the Virgin Mary.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for them five ladies, I wouldn't be here today. So those ladies had a big impact in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I went to Mass. You know, eight ladies come out. No men except the priest. There were six of them were Eucharistic ministers, mm-hmm. and two of them did the readings. God bless them. And I love what they're doing, and I have nothing against women serving. But where's the men?
Yeah.
Like, why aren't the men stepping up? It's not because men and women are created equal. We know that. But men have a certain role in the church to play, as do women. Mm-hmm. And this is what we meant by men. You know, men lead their families to Christ. I wrote an article about that, men leading their families to Christ. Men need to step up. Men need to take charge. You know, I was at a Bible study one time, and after I got done, these 10, 12 Chaldean women came up to me, and they said, well-off women, husbands, all business owners, what can we do to get our husband to lead us to Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
That's all they wanted to know. And they're wealthy. They have everything you could imagine.
Yeah.
But their husbands didn't have the faith. That's what's lacking in our community now. Chaldean community, the American community, whatever it is, men need to step up and be men, Gary.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Is there specific challenges or obstacles that are uniquely Chaldean?
Yeah.
And so it's having men step up, you know?
For us, because of our father's generation and our grandfather's generation, being a man in our community was about working hard and bringing home money and supporting your family. Mm-hmm. That's in our community, that's what the definition of manhood is.
Right.
But as we're learning more about what manhood is, that's really not the definition of manhood. Right.
Right.
The definition of manhood is how I want to make sure that my son and my daughter and my wife are going to be in heaven with me. That's my definition of manhood, right? Mm-hmm. Teaching them who Christ is. Listen, if I don't introduce my children to Jesus Christ, they are not going to get introduced to him outside in that world. Mm-hmm. They're going to get introduced to somebody totally different, Gary. You know that, I know that, and everybody listening knows that. Mm-hmm. So if us as fathers don't teach our children who Jesus Christ is, when your child comes home 19, 20 years old after his second year of college and says, "Dad, I'm an atheist," don't be upset at your child. I say be upset at yourself for not teaching that child who Jesus is when he was growing up.
Yeah, that's so important.
Yeah,
taking leadership in that. You just can't assume, well, other people will take care of it.
No.
Because they need to see their father as a leader, a role model.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are the things, fortunately, that now are the younger generation, the Chaldeans, that are being born here and raised here, they have a little bit different mentality than our fathers did. They're all educated now. They all have working in the workforce and you know, engineers and doctors and lawyers. We have a lot of these, you know, not so much working in retail 24/7, you know, trying to make money to support your family. So they have weekends off. They are actually stepping up and becoming the men that God has created them to be.
Great.
But it's a slow process.
Yeah.
It's a slow process, you know.
Yeah. When I first got involved, when now Bishop Francis invited me to start apologetics there.
Great man.
Yeah, he is.
Great man.
He explained to me that, you know, the Chaldeans in Iraq, it's preserve the faith. You know, it's just keep the faith. Be Christian. Mm-hmm. But when you come to America, there's all this pluriformity. In a sense, they're kind of sitting ducks because you have Baptists pulling people out of the church, Calvinists, you know, all sorts of things. Yeah. Is that still true today? That was in the early 2000s.
It's still happening, Gary.
Yeah,
we have a lot of Chaldeans, unfortunately, that have turned Jehovah.
Yeah,
a lot of them that have gone become Calvinists. A lot of them that have a lot of them are a good amount have become atheists. I just don't believe in God at all, and you know, it's alarming because 25 years ago, never heard of this. 30 years ago, if you said I'm Chaldean, and everybody automatically knows you're Catholic.
It's
an automatic. You don't have to say. If you say you're Chaldean, I don't have to ask what religion you are. Now if there's a Chaldean, I don't know him. I'm Chaldean. Oh, where do you go to church at? You know, and it's not a Catholic church. I don't assume that they're Catholic anymore.
Yeah.
We're going through the same struggles that any other church is going through, and you know, and this is why our ministry has to grow.
Yeah.
We need more apologetics classes. We need more Bible studies. We need more people to take charge, to teach the community what Catholicism is, you know, who Jesus is, and what he can do for you in your life. Yeah. If you don't believe that Jesus can change your life, you don't know who Jesus is. You don't know what he can do for you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? So let's talk a little bit about ministry that you're doing.
I'll tell you something I did a couple months ago. I was sitting in the backyard one day. You know, this is my first summer off. No school. No Bible class, nothing. So I'm kind of bored. So I started writing a book, and the book is actually called A Journey to Heaven, where my first class was, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm on chapter 2, almost getting to chapter 3, a little bit longer than I expected, but hopefully I'll be done with it in maybe 5 to 6 months. And I was sitting in the backyard one day, and I had my iPhone out, and I said, you know what? Let me just press record, pull up a Bible verse. Let me go into some depth about it a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So I did that, and I pull up the iPhone, hit record, pull up my computer, pull out a Bible verse, and talked about 8 to 10 minutes about it, you know? Mm-hmm. Gave just enough information where I feel I can let the audience, I want them to search more. I want them to go through the Bible and search, right? Mm-hmm. So I called it Bible in the Backyard because I was sitting in my backyard,
there
right?
And yeah.
Just come up with the name Bible in the Backyard. I'm actually on my sixth episode now. I just finished number seven. Right. And, you know, and again, it's 8 to 10 minutes. It's perfect. So the first three of them, I don't know anything about editing, you know, so I just put it up there. I did all 8 minutes with one shot. I didn't know editing, nothing,
yeah,
you know,
right.
Like make sure make no mistakes. So now the last couple have some, you know, a little bit of titles. I put up the Bible verse. I kind of learning how to edit myself. You know, just, they're coming out
nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, as long as the message gets across, you can find those on YouTube. You can just go to Jeff Kassab on YouTube and my videos will pop up. And a lot of videos from Genesis 4:9. We also have a Genesis 4:9 YouTube channel where they can pick up all of our men's ministry talks from different, you know, Father Ben Lukey, Deacon Harold, Justin Matika.
Father Ben is amazing.
Father Ben's awesome. You know, so far he always pulls the most men in. When we say Father Ben's coming, Mother of God is packed. It's packed.
I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah.
Just his testimonies with Mother Teresa as her driver and his stories with St. John Paul II are amazing, right?
Yeah.
He's such an amazing
man. He's an amazing priest just all
He's
around.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So I also have a blog page. Where
so they could go to YouTube and
go to YouTube,
type in
Jeff Kassab, K-A-S-S-A-B.
Okay.
And my YouTube channel will pop up and you can watch the Bible in the Backyards there. It'd be great to get some feedback and let people know what they, you know, what they think about them.
Nice.
And I also have a blog page where I also post the videos and a lot of my blog papers. I just started that 2 months ago.
Okay.
And that's called thejourneytoheaven.com. Mm-hmm. You can go on there and, you know, I have a lot of articles I wrote for the Chaldean News and some other stuff. I'm almost done with the article now in light of that, the paper that or the research that came out from Pew Institution about Catholics not believing in the Eucharist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like the percentage, like 60-some percent. So what I did is I wrote a paper. All I did is I just took church fathers, what they said about the Eucharist, because we have to go back to church fathers.
Yeah.
You know, and what they believed and what they were taught by the apostles. So I just took a paper out and I just took stuff from St. Justin Martyr, St. Ignatius, and all these early church fathers and kind of plugged them in this paper. So look, we do believe that this is the real presence.
Right.
And they had such a strong belief in the real presence back then that that St. Ignatius, he gave his life for, he was fed to the lions.
Polycarp?
No.
Ignatius of Antioch.
Ignatius of Antioch, yeah. And he'd rather be fed to the lions.
Yeah.
Then denounce the Eucharist. I mean, that's faith. You know, that's what we believe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. Well, you know what? You're an inspiration.
Thank you.
And what I love about you, Jeff, not only because you're faithful in following Jesus, but, you know, I think a lot of Catholics are afraid to do stuff because, you know, they worry about the details. But you just, even if it's just, you know, iPhone in the backyard, you know, you're doing ministry. And folks, you can do that too.
Yeah.
If God's calling you to do it, don't worry about it. He'll take care of the details.
Yeah. Look, I look at some of these videos out there. Wow, these are so professionally done. Yeah. But the message of the video is the same in the good videos that are got great editing and don't have great editing.
That's true.
The message is the same.
Very
right?
good.
And that's Jesus Christ will change your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming
Gary.
On
Thanks
the show.
For
I really
me on.
Appreciate
it. Was a pleasure.
Well, Jeff Kassab, check out that stuff, folks. YouTube, also his website, lots of great material.
The Journey to Heaven.
Journey to Heaven. Tomorrow we're going to have Blue Collar Apologist John Martinoni on board. And coming up next, the high impact Catholic talk of Terry and Jesse Show. So it's time for me to shut down the Midwest Command Center, turn off the lights. Thank you so much for listening to the show. We really appreciate it. And everybody have a wonderful, blessed day. Bye-bye, everybody.
In the 1990s, I lived and worked in Hollywood. But when my wife Betty's mom took ill, we relocated to Orange County. And it was during this time in our lives that I converted to Catholicism. Once my eyes were opened to the truth, I couldn't learn enough about the faith. But I had less free time than ever, especially with a long commute. That's when I discovered the real value of Catholic audio. Listening to cassette tapes transformed my daily commute into a miniature retreat. And that's the beauty of Virgin Most Powerful Radio today. Since the podcasts are archived, you can listen anytime on our smartphone app. I know how listening to Catholic audio can bring you closer to Christ and His Church. So I encourage you to visit the App Store or go to vmpr.org and download the app today. It just might change your life. I'm Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.